I want to transition into another video to start this morning. And what I want to do is show you a video that was taken from a brief documentary showing just some of the work that was done by Brooks and Nina Bucer as they went to Papua New Guinea and worked there, leaving a comfortable life in San Diego to go work with the Yembe Yembe people about 17 years ago. Now, this is all condensed, but I want you to see and to hear something that was accomplished in that specific endeavor.
This is where our house stood. This is where we lived for 9 years. I watched my son grow up right here on this ground. There's nothing left now, at least nothing physical. But what does remain is everlasting.
Training, they pushed us to do things that were a little bit out of our comfort zone. There was a class on animal butchering, which was probably not my favorite.
Phonetics, phonemics, how to do grammatical analysis, all the different tools that you'll need to learn these languages. It was challenging to say the least, but we felt like we had the building blocks to be dropped off into a spot where there was a new language. We could put it down on paper, we could replicate it, and then we could translate it and we could teach in it.
In the summer of 2004, the Yembe Yembe tribe would become their home.
Yeah, the calluses on our feet got a lot thicker. We learned how to throw a spear, how to hunt pigs, how to get out in the canoes, how to basically live like a Yembe in their environment. To the life of Christ, and we hit on the major stories, and we were able to present the gospel in the middle of April. The day of the teaching, I'll never forget for as long as I live, and we saw a rainstorm off in the distance, and we were scared to death that this storm was going to come through, and half of our audience sat outside the teaching house, so we knew that we'd lose half our audience, and we saw this rainstorm coming, and it kept coming, and we were teaching, and we got to the death. We got to the burial, and right about the resurrection, the rainstorm came, but I'll never forget it. The rainstorm split, and half of it was on this side, half of it was on this side, but the actual teaching house, we didn't, nobody there got wet, and even the Yembes were looking around going, this is kind of weird. So it was just a neat thing that God did. And at that point, we believe we had about 50, 60 people that understood on that day, what Christ had done for them, and the Yembe Yembe Church was born.
After 9 years, the moment has come. The missionaries have phased out of the tribe, leaving a church body with trained pastors for a new generation. The last step is providing them with a Bible in their native tongue.
Oh.
Seems like half of the really interesting missionary stories come from Papua New Guinea. And a huge portion of Bible translations being done there. Maybe that is because in that little country just north of Australia, there are nearly 1,000 different people groups, 1,000 different languages to be reached. And many of those groups are cannibals and headhunters. And so I am suggesting this morning, if you were to pack up and move to Papua New Guinea, you're in for an adventure. Yes, they were eating those grub worms, by the way. Acts chapter 13 and 14 details what we call typically the first missionary journey of Paul and Barnabas. So I'd like you to get your Bibles open to that. We're not going to really have the time to read the many stories that can be found in those two chapters this morning. We're going to talk a little bit about them. When people travel to unreached people groups with the gospel, there is bound to be an adventure. And maybe you're not the adventurous type. Maybe just getting out of bed in the morning is enough adventure for you. Okay. So let's go ahead and ask an important and obvious question up front this morning, and that is, why should I care about missions? You know what I'm going to say. I'm glad you asked that. I want to broaden our thoughts this morning about the word mission and missionary. I told Brian Rodert, hey, I'm going to be speaking about how missions is an adventure today. So I want you to really listen closely, Brian, and get some pointers on that. Really what we're looking at is simply the church being deliberate to take the gospel to other places. That by itself is missions, if you will. And that's the way I want to speak about it this morning. Why should I care about any efforts, any of those efforts to take the gospel message to people who don't know it? And I want to give you three good reasons, and then we're going to talk a bit about what that looks like. And our backdrop to that whole thing is going to be these two chapters, chapters 13 and 14 in the book of Acts. So here we go. Three good reasons to care about this. Number one, Jesus wants us to care about the people who don't know him. Amen? Jesus wants us to care. The entire Bible is about God's plan to reconcile man back to himself. There are several statements in the Gospels that Jesus gave and even one about him, about his mission, his purpose. And we're just going to put those up for you to read this morning. So whether you're online or you're sitting here right now, they'll be in front of you. There are several verses there. All of these verses were Jesus' words pointing to his great purpose in coming to earth. And according to Jesus, the reason he came to earth was to bring people back to God. So it shouldn't surprise us that his final words to his disciples as he gets ready to go back into heaven are about his mission and what he wants done. He cares about the lost, whether they live in Eastern Europe or they live in the house that is just east of yours. Jesus cares about the lost, so we should too. All right, another good reason to care is this, that the good news is for, I'm queuing it up for you here, everyone. The good news is for everyone. There is a definite pattern in the way that Paul and Barnabas preached. You know, the Jews were already looking for a Messiah. The Jews were already gathering every week in synagogues. And so it made sense to begin with them every time they went to a city to preach. But they also had just as much effort to reach non-Jews. In fact, look in chapter 13 at verse 46, after they've had a run-in with the Jews in a particular city. It says, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. That sounds kind of harsh. How could they say such a thing? Well, simple. Because the gospel isn't just for the Jews. The gospel is for everybody to hear. Not just the people who are like us, not just the people we like the most, but everyone. Jesus designed for everyone to hear the good news. That's another reason we should care about missions. Here's a third one. That is that believers need encouragement. Paul and Barnabas didn't just go to these very many cities and start churches in all of them. They also, it says, went back. And they put elders in place. They got those churches on their feet because the church is never supposed to be a leaderless blob. They needed shepherds to lead them. So missions isn't just about starting churches, planting churches. It's also about getting those churches on their feet so that they can grow. Other believers in this world aren't outsiders from us because they're in a different culture or because they live on a different continent. Those people are our brothers and sisters in Christ, just as much as you and I are brothers and sisters sitting here together, or the people who are brothers and sisters that are joining us online. Or does Jesus love us more because of our color or our language or our culture or our customs or our location? Of course not. If we care about the mission of Jesus, we'll care about the mission of his church. Can I get a uh-huh? Good, thank you. Paul said, our mission makes it as though God is speaking through us. Think about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, he says, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Do you wish you cared more sometimes about what's going on with the church overseas? Do you struggle with that sometimes? Let me give you something to try. Care about Jesus. Care about what matters to Jesus. Care about his mission. Care about the people of the world who haven't heard about him. The ones across the globe, the ones across your street. If you care about Jesus, we'll care about what's happening with the church around the world. And folks, that's why to start with this morning, I want to say it, we should care about missions. So that raises another question for me, and that is, what will happen when we involve ourselves in missions? And guess what I would like to say to that? I'm glad you asked that. What will happen? What will it look like? Let me tell you about one person who looked like this. Her name is Isabel Dittamore. Several years ago, Isabel, in preparation to go serve the Lord as a missionary in China, had all of her teeth pulled. They were healthy, but she had all of her teeth pulled. Where she was going in rural China, there wouldn't have been any adequate dental care. And she didn't want a problem with teeth to get in the way of the work that she was going to put in as a missionary 40 years in China. So she made sure she wouldn't be hindered by bad teeth. She just left all of her teeth behind in the States. Isabel Dittamore. What will you look like if you completely give yourself over to this adventure called missions? Will you need to change the way that you look to reach the people that you're trying to reach? Will you need to learn another language? Will you need to struggle to take on a different culture? Well, if your mission field is just across the street, you may not need to change a lot about you, but as I look at the first journey to take the gospel into the remotest parts of the world, I see some principles that were applied here in Acts 13 and 14. They apply whether we're headed across the seas or across the street. So what can we anticipate as we launch out as Christ's ambassadors, as God brings his message through us and we engage in this, what can we expect to have happen? Here's one thing. As I look at these stories in these two chapters, you can expect that we will be opposed. Paul and Barnabas, very early on in their travels, got as far as Paphos before we read about a magician whose name was Elymas, who opposed them. I guess you could say he opposed them. Listen to how Paul describes him, chapter 13, verse 10. "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Apparently, Paul had not read How to Win Friends and Influence People. No, Elymas was a fake. He was trying to keep his boss from listening to the gospel. He was getting in the way. Missionary team traveled on in Pisidian Antioch. They went to the synagogue. They spoke the good news. A week later, a big crowd gathered to hear them, and the Jews were jealous. They began mouthing off against Paul. And so Paul and Barnabas traveled on into the next city, Iconium, where the Jews were making a plot to kill them. So they left there too. In Lystra, Jews from other cities came into Lystra, stirred up trouble. This time, Paul was dragged outside the city and stoned. It's called opposition. And we can be sure that when we engage in missions, we'll be opposed. Chapter 14, verse 22, Paul reflects back on some of the things that were happening to them, and he says, we're saying that through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. There's a cost involved with following Jesus. Anybody who sets out to help undo the work of Satan is going to feel the pressure as Satan pushes back against that work. When we were living in Joplin, I got to meet a fireman who, along with two other families, were preparing to go to Africa as missionaries. He mentioned how once they made the commitment to go and they began to make preparations to leave in a year or two, they started having some new challenges in their home. For instance, their children began having nightmares, waking up scared at night. No explanation. And what they were facing was clearly Satan's work to oppose their plan work. There was no other way to explain what was going on, some of the things that were happening in their home. Whether it's deceitful media or mean-spirited people at school or angry family members or a magician who is a child of the devil and an enemy of all righteousness, you will be opposed. If you're going to potentially undo Satan's work, he will send his opposition against you. Brothers and sisters, don't be shocked when you're opposed. Something else that will happen, as I look into these stories, is that you will find yourself on the move. It's hard to tell sometimes if this first missionary team was moving around because they were trying to get to many different places as they possibly could, or if they were just on the run. Sometimes running from one group and running to the next group are kind of the same thing. Either way, these men were constantly on the move. Part of what enables mission-minded people to do what they do is that they remember that we're all transients, people who are on the move in this world. And I don't mean by that we live under an overpass somewhere. I mean that we may be here right now, but our real home is someplace else. We're passing through. Peter said in 1 Peter 2, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage war against your soul." Peter was talking about the way that we don't belong in this world. We're transients. So the less attachment we have with stuff of this world, the more able we are to go when God sends us to be somewhere. And I want to suggest that the less attachment we have with our pride or our social standing or our comfort, the more we're able to step into situations where we don't feel so comfortable. we really become involved in missions, we're going to find ourselves on the move. We're going to find ourselves living like people who don't feel like we need to stay. Something else that'll happen as we become involved in missions, people will be saved. Before these men made this trip, before they were sent out by the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 13, there were no churches, no Christians in Seleucia, the island of Cyprus, Perga, Pisidian Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, or Derbe. That means every church family that met in those places, they were all brand new Christians. Think about that. Two men made themselves available to be used by God, and right away, hundreds of people in the Mideast met Jesus as a direct result of that work. And I look at that story and I start to say to myself, you know what? When we engage in missions, people get saved. You ever stepped outside of your comfort zone? Can you think about a time that you took this on as a mission work and you stepped outside of where you feel comfortable? What did you do? When we involve ourselves in this, it's worth it because people are saved. And let me add this, and not until. It won't happen until we do it, until we're willing to support it with our money, with our words and letters of encouragement, until we are willing to be praying for it to happen, until we're willing to go ourselves. People won't be saved. Till we're willing to visit with our neighbor, till we're willing to share our faith at school or at work, until we are willing to live our lives for the sake of sharing the good news about Jesus. Until then, it won't happen. People are saved when we become involved in missions. Amen? And not until. So here's one more question for today. How do I get involved in missions? I'm glad you asked that. In fact, by now, if you're not asking that, I have probably failed miserably. And this is the point, Brian Roeder, when you're supposed to jump up and just take over because it's flopped. If you're not at least thinking, okay, how do I get involved in that? This is the part of the message where rubber meets the road. You're convinced that this matters. You believe that it works. Okay, how do I get involved? Let me give you four things you got to get. And I think if you'll get these four things, you can get involved in missions, all right? Number one, get serious. If you've been one of those people who's had a sorry attitude about missions, if you were just kind of nonchalant about outreach, then I prescribe to you this morning that you begin to get serious and that you care about the souls of men and women and children who don't know Jesus Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 18, many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears, walk as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. Now, I would remind you this morning that you were formerly a lost person yourself till somebody got involved in missions. So you heard about Jesus because of that person. And I would remind you that heaven is a real place and that hell is a real place and that human souls hang in the balance when we talk about will I do this or not and try to decide whether or not we're going to take this thing seriously. We need to get serious. Here's the other thing we need to get. Get called. I don't mean stay at home and wait for a phone call. In these chapters from Acts today, start there in chapter 13, the very first verses. It says that the Holy Spirit directly ordered that Paul and Barnabas would be set aside for this specific work, this first missionary journey. And I don't see where we get our orders as directly as that today, but I do see God's call in people's lives. And I know that we don't often talk about God giving people a call. We don't often make as much of that as some churches do, but I would contend that God calls all of us to serve Him and all of us to fulfill His mission in some way. That God has equipped you and calls you to do that. Some recognize that God is sending them overseas. You know, Central Christian Church, in its years of history, has sent away some of our best people. Some recognize that God is calling them to serve as His ambassador to the people right in your own neighborhood, right in our own community. Some are still listening and trying to figure it out. Will this get clearer so I'm knowing what God wants me to do? Maybe you need to get yourself into a position just to listen well to what God is saying. Maybe we all need to be encouraging the people around us, you and you and you, sitting here this morning, listening this morning, to listen to God's call. What is He calling you to do? Get called. Here's the third thing you need to get. You need to get sent. Chapter 13, verse 3, it says this, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and what? Sent them off. Way you go. You know, we've had a practice here of surrounding people. Remember these times? And praying for them as a church family, especially for people who are leaving on some kind of a mission work. Getting around them and praying, aren't those special times? And if you were to head overseas or someplace to serve the Lord, I think you'd be asking for that. It doesn't matter who you are. The prayers of God's people and the tangible reminder that that gives will help you to ensure that the Lord will use you. So if you're planning to do some kind of work for the Lord, any kind of work, tell somebody, tell the church, get sent. This also means that each of us as a sender, by the way, has a role to fulfill, don't we? We keep highlighting the mission works that Central Christian Church supports this morning. We'll listen to Morgan Hume. Did you pick up on that? Morgan Hume made a video in the Dominican Republic, and she sent that, and we watched it here this morning because it's good for us to keep in touch with what's going on. That's so our support is more than finances. You can write letters, you can write emails to the people who are regularly supported mission works of Central Christian Church. Jump on our website, go under ministries, look under missions, look at the list that we have of people that we're to be praying for and encouraging. Just because you're not in the Philippines or Mexico or Cambodia or the Dominican Republic or Eastern Europe or Oklahoma, another far-off exotic land, doesn't mean you're not involved. Fourth, get going. Paul would make, after this story in 13 and 14 of Acts, Paul's going to make at least two more mission trips. He was busy with the Lord's work. How did he do that? How did he do the things? Just start going through the life of Paul and you got to ask, how did he do that? Here's the answer, Colossians 1:28. Him we proclaim, warning everyone, teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all of His energy that He powerfully works within me. I've been in and have heard about other church buildings that have posted over their doors, their main doors, as you exit, as you leave, like the auditorium or like you leave the church building, it says over the door, you are now entering your mission field. Our doorways don't have that over them yet. But this morning, that's what I want to encourage you to think about as you leave here or as you sign off from being online here this morning, that you are not leaving church. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are the church. Leaving this place of worship, entering your place of mission work, whatever it might be today, this week, in the future, is your mission field. It's an adventure. I'm going to tell you, if you're not a follower of Christ this morning, we want to invite you to join this adventure called Life in Jesus Christ. It is the greatest enterprise there is in all of human history. It has been networking around the globe for nearly 2,000 years. And there are openings for anybody who is interested. And I want to tell you, as I was sitting here this morning thinking about getting up and speaking, I just feel my words, my inadequacy to be able to begin to express the heart of this group of people who care about the people of this city and the world, let alone to try to have the words to express God's heart for the people He wants to bring to Himself. We want to tell you this morning, like Paul says in 2 Corinthians, which we read earlier, we are pleading on behalf of him, be reconciled to God. We're inviting you along with us to this adventure. It means giving your life to Jesus Christ. It means submitting to him. It means, yeah, taking on whatever adventure it is he has to send you on. That's what the church is about. Till we're together in heaven one day. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask you this morning if you would give that some honest thought. If you're already a follower of Christ, that you would listen to the words of Scripture and hear what God has for you to do. I'm going to ask if you're not a follower of Christ this morning, if you haven't made that commitment, that you would consider this morning what it is he invites you to be. Let's stand together. If you're ready to make that decision this morning, I'm going to be right down here at the front as we conclude this morning, and I'm going to ask you to speak with me. Don't leave here without speaking to me about your relationship with Christ. If you're online and you're joining us this morning, please don't just click and be done. Please get in contact with us. Start a communication with us so that we can get together with you and look at God's Word and talk about life in Him, how you can begin that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the work that you do through your people. We thank you this morning that you take ordinary people and you accomplish amazing things. God, sometimes we look at ourselves, we feel very ordinary. But we also recognize that the work that you've called us to do, we need your help in it, and it has eternal consequences. So today, help us, Father, who already know you, to have a greater fervor, to have a burning inside of us that looks around and sees where it is you're sending us, God, whether that's right next door to somebody that we already know or somebody that we have yet to meet. And Father, we pray for those who today are hearing the urgency and the importance of this, enough that people for centuries would give their lives just to get the message out. As it goes out here today, Father, please let it do its work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.